Hello, I'm Philip McVeigh, and I'm here with Ron and Robin Garriga. They're the directors of our generosity campaign, Will You Grow? And each week we've been taking the words one at a time, will, and then you. And today we're focusing on the word grow. When you hear the word grow, what do you think of with what we're asking the congregation to do?
My first thought is a little bitty seed being put into the ground and just sprouting up and growing into a big bean vine, kind of multiplying.
You're so creative, Robin. I didn't have that vision at all, by the way.
What's your vision?
My vision was a stepping stool and watching yourself grow as you, not grow, but grow. That's what I was thinking.
Well, I'm hearing pretty clear that you're thinking it's not remaining where you are. Mm-hmm. It's about doing something different. Say a word about, if you could invite the congregation to grow, what would you want them to do differently?
I think we all have our own financial ability. We all know what we receive, and I would just like to challenge our church family to see where they can take it up to the next level of what they would like to give back to the church, give to God. We talked about last week of how the sacrifices God made for us. Well, when you freely give and you grow abundantly, your life grows abundantly. Things just flow better. Things just work better. The dots connect better. So I know that in our life, as we have tried to grow, we've always felt really good about that. And our lives just tend to want to be better.
Well, as you think about the congregation, and we thank you so much for being our directors for this generosity campaign. I heard you say in your opening week of introduction that you were excited about what was going on in the church.
Absolutely.
And if we all grow together, God gives us a vision of flourishing, yes, of abundance. What does that mean to you as you look at our church?
For me, my example of growing was planting the seeds. I'm thinking about a tree, and you know, when it's young and you water it or you feed it or you contribute to it, the roots are going to grow stronger and stronger and spread out. And so I'm thinking that as our generosity grows with our giving to our church, we're going to be stronger and stronger and more of a beacon to our community.
Yeah, that's well said, Robin. I think that for me, in growing, it would be the joy that we do receive from that growing to that next step. I think that when we look at our church family and we see what we are accomplishing already, I mean, we have a very prosperous church, but we want to do more. We want to give more. We want this corner to, like Robin just said, a beacon. We want this to just shine. We want a light to shine throughout this community about what great things are happening here at Shalimar United Methodist Church, and that takes resources. And what a great way to see your resources being used than amongst those who need it.
Right. Well, thank you for challenging us with these three words, will you grow? And I want to thank Ron and Robin again. Ron, it's your birthday.
It is. Today is Ron Garriga Day.
And that tells me that you're taking this very serious, that you want to see this church grow. You want to see us all individually take a step of growth. Thank you so much for that. And let's end with that phrase we've used the previous weeks.
Will you grow with us?
Well, for the last few weeks, we've been listening to Pastor Philip speak with Ron and Robin Garriga, who are the leaders of our generosity campaign. But they are not alone. They don't do this all by themselves. There are many people who are working behind the scenes, and it's my pleasure to introduce one of those, David Mobley, and he's going to talk with us a little bit now. So thank you for being here, David.
You bet. Good evening, everybody. Yeah, doing something different. This is different for me. Many of you may not know me. I'm David Mobley. I also go by Mobley. My dad goes by Mobley. It's weird. You may not know, but 3 years ago, we moved away, and we left Shalimar and moved down to Tampa, and we just returned. And while we were down in Tampa, it was tough finding a church home, one that improved our growth with Christ, because as we've gotten into our phase of life, we've always sought to grow in Christ. And we kept comparing our experiences down in Tampa to Shalimar, our home church. And we found a church, but it still wasn't quite the same. However, we dove in, we gave of our time and of our resources, and we turned out to have a great experience in Brandon, Florida, with a small growing church. And we watched that growth turn from when we first got there. 3 years later, that church had tripled in size and in reach to the community, and it was an amazing experience. So we returned home in many ways, and Shalimar is our Christian home, and we're back with our friends, and that's really what establishes that relationship, and it's the church. Fellowship and experiences here are the church. Now I'm gonna do the interactive part of our service tonight, and if you would, look in your bulletins and find this chart right here. I got it upside down, I got it right side up. Find it, get a pen, because I'm going to step you through. Like I said, this is an interactive part of our service. Just in case you're ignoring me, then we can wake you up by having you do some activities here. So what you're looking at is a stair-step chart, as we call it, the step chart. And at the bottom left, you're seeing, and it's hard to read, I know, but if you got it on your card, you may have to turn up the lights a little bit. The bottom left corner, we have from 0.1 cents, a penny, up to $24.99 a month. And at the top, it says $1,250 plus per month, or $15,000 plus monthly. Now, this is a record of general giving to God that we've seen here at Shalimar United Methodist Church. And what I'm going to talk to you through here is at the bottom left corner, you're going to write these numbers in. And don't worry if you get behind me as I'm talking kind of fast. The numbers will be up here on the screen. So I want you to write those in, because it's kind of interesting to see how this grows and go back and look at it later as you're talking to your significant other or siblings or whoever about your growth along this generosity campaign. So at the bottom left, we have 183 households who give somewhere between a penny and $24.99 a month, or about $299 a year maximum. The next step, we have 86 households who give $25 to $59.99 per month, or anywhere from $300 to $719 a month. So stepping up, I'm going to accelerate a little bit here. 58 on the next step, then 48, then 36 households that give between $150 and almost $200 a month. 34 is the next step. 28 is the next step, and those give between $250 and almost $300 a month, which is about $3,000 to $3,600 annually. The next is 35, then 77, and this gets interesting now. 9 households on the next step that give between $850 and $1,249 a month. And then the last one is even more interesting. 4 households have given over $1,250 plus of their income to God, or over $15,000 annually through this church to God. Now, I'll say this is a survey of giving and generosity, and I'll talk about what this means to you here shortly, but I will say that never once in my giving, and I was not always a tither or a giver or generous in any way, but I've grown to know that if I don't contribute to God, I'm not going to be content. But I've written those checks, and sometimes when I'm writing them, I'm like, oh man, this might be painful. But never once did I regret, at the end of the month when funds got tight, did I look back and say, oh, I wish I hadn't written that check to God. Never once. Now, I regretted going to Lowe's and Home Depot a few times. We'll talk about that later if you'd like. But I always felt good about giving to God. The joyful term comes to mind. So giving ourselves to Christ includes growing of our time and resources in a relationship with Christ, time in study, in fellowship with other Christians like we're doing here, worshiping, and even our finances. Each of these bring great joy to us when we know that We've done something that makes a difference in spreading the gospel. I pray that your family will grow in all these areas and that they'll step up for Christ and do something different. Thank you.
Thank you very much, David. Church, it's my privilege to lead us in a time of scripture presentation. I'm going to ask you if you would join me in standing. And the reason that we stand is we honor God and honor His word as we do this. And so if you would, I invite you to hear these words from Psalm 92. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to the Most High. It is good to proclaim your unfailing love in the morning, your faithfulness in the evening, accompanied by a 10-string instrument, a harp, and the melody of a lyre. You thrill me, Lord, with all that you have done for me. I sing for joy because of what you have done. O Lord, what great works you do, and how deep are your thoughts. Only a simpleton would not know, and only a fool would not understand this. Though the wicked sprout like weeds and evildoers flourish, they are all destroyed forever. But you, O Lord, will be exalted forever. Your enemies, Lord, will surely perish. All evildoers will be scattered. But you have made me strong as a wild ox. You have anointed me with the finest oil. My eyes have seen the downfall of my enemies. My ears have heard the defeat of my wicked opponents. But the godly will flourish like palm trees and grow strong like the cedars of Lebanon. But they are transplanted to the Lord's own house. They flourish in the courts of our God. Even in old age, they will still produce fruit. They will remain vital and green. They will declare, "The Lord is just. He is my rock. There is no evil in him." Would you pray with me, please? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the opportunity that we have of being able to share this together. And Lord, we ask that you would continue to open our ears, our eyes, our minds, our hearts, our spirits, as we hear your word proclaimed. And Father, I pray that you will then help us with courage and conviction to respond to you in the way that you desire, a way that is pleasing. Thank you, Father, again for your word. Lord, we are your servants. Speak, for we are listening. We pray this in the almighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. Thank you, beloved. Be seated, please.
Thank you, Brad. We've been going along in this series, which is not a very complicated series. It's called Will You Grow? We all know that growth is God's plan for the world. Everywhere we look, things grow. Wherever circumstances are at all hospitable to life, there is life, and things grow. Even where you think there might not be any opportunity for growth, there is growth. You can have boiling hot springs at the bottom of the ocean, or frigid barren rocks up in the highest parts of the mountain, and there you will find life. That's what God does. And His Spirit calls for us to grow. When He breathes His breath of life on us, He bids us grow. So it's a very simple question. Will you grow? The first week we focused on that first word, will. We know you can grow. The question is, will you grow? I can lose weight. The question is, will I lose weight? I can exercise. The question is, will I exercise? And that's true for all of us. The question is, are we ready to do it? And that's when we first asked you to commit, to be ready to make a commitment. And that time is almost upon us. Next week, we're going to have our consecration Sunday, and each of us will have the opportunity to fill out an estimate of giving card, which is not a hard pledge. It's basically our best guess, our estimate of what our giving will be, knowing that if any circumstances change during the year, we're not bound by that, but we're offering the church an estimate for them to go by, and that's necessary for us to do our budgeting and so forth. So will you grow? The second week, we talked about the word you. Will you grow? Many times when we have a generosity campaign, there's a thought that goes on in our head that, oh, I'm so glad the church is doing this so other people can give to the church. But I don't know if he's really talking about me. Right now, I have my own circumstances that are a little bit different. But the question is, will you grow? Is this the year that you're going to take your ownership and this part of, and your part of it to make all of this happen? And now, tonight, we're focusing on the third word, will you grow? And we have been blessed with this wonderful psalm, Psalm 92, that talks about giving praise to God and all the things that God has done and how fortunate we are and how good it is to praise God. So I'd like to just spend a few minutes talking with you about that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, your scriptures are inspiring to us, and sometimes they confound us. Your truths are so deep, they elude our understanding. But this we know, that you are a good, good Father. And so we put our trust in you. And we make that commitment to you that we want to be your children and we want to grow the way you want us to grow. Let it be so, Lord, that tonight we open ourselves up and prepare to receive your Holy Spirit and be strengthened and enlivened by it. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, Lord. You're our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Several years ago, there was a man who was going to his grandmother's house to help clear out things on the farm. And the farm had been in the family for generations, but there was a lot of it that had kind of gotten overgrown and other trees had started to sprout up. And there was a lot of things that just needed to be cleared out. So he was taking his bushwhacker, you know, and started clearing out a bunch of stuff. And he came to this place where he saw some young trees coming up. But in the middle of that was an old tree, an old, old tree. And he looked at it and he said, why is that tree so much older than all of the other trees around it? He looked at it and he said, you know, that kind of looks like an apple tree. And he went back to his grandmother's house and he said, did you know you had an apple tree out there? She says, oh no, we haven't had an apple tree. We've never collected apples out there. And I've walked all through those woods. I know there's no apple tree. Well, he was curious about it. So he got his little identifying plants book, you know, and he went out there and he looked at it and he saw the shape of the leaves and the way they were displayed and the kind of the bark that the tree had. And he said, yeah, that's an apple tree. So he began to clear all the younger trees around it where the forest had grown up just from lack of attention and from neglect. And there was this tree standing all by itself. And his grandmother continued to insist, that can't be an apple tree. I've never seen any apples grow on that tree. He called an agricultural extension agent, and the agricultural extension agent came out and looked at the tree, and he said, yep, that's an apple tree. Well, why haven't we ever had any apples on it? Well, it's long past its productivity. It's, you know, it just kind of grew wild and nobody's paid any attention to it. I'll bet it hasn't had any apples for 50 or 60 years, maybe more. But he says, I'll tell you what, we have an expert on pruning. And this is a very delicate thing when you're trying to prune back a tree to get it to grow apples again. you can't just do it all at once. You can't just do a severe pruning. You have to prune it back a little bit each year, and it might take 2 or 3 years before we get any apples. And that's what they did. Over a period of 3 years, they started pruning back that tree. And sure enough, one spring it started to flower and blossom. And in the fall, they collected apples, apples like they had never tasted before. And they brought the agricultural extension agent out and said, "You got to try these apples. It's just rich with, it just pops with apple flavor." And the agent looked at it and he said, "You're right. I've never seen an apple like this. I'm going to take some back and study it." And he discovered that this tree was a variety of apples that they had forgotten about for 50 or 60 years. It had been basically extinct. And although they were growing them and they were popular in the state of Oregon 100 years ago, they had fallen away and they didn't stand up to the rigors of distribution like some apples do. And it just went away. And now with this pruning, with this care, with this intentionality, the tree began to grow fruit more and more. And now they're taking seeds from it and they're propagating more trees and they're redeveloping this wonderful variety of apple. So as we think about this question, will you grow? It occurs to me that, of course, we will all grow. We'll grow without even trying. Some of us will grow old. Some of us will grow tired. Some of us will grow bald. But with the right attention and the right intentionality and the focus on what God has given us, we can grow in ways that really glorify Him, ways that expand our imagination and give glory to God in the strength that we have and the vigor. And banding together as a church, we can do things that we never thought were possible if we choose to grow. When we look at this psalm, it begins that it's good. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to the Most High. It's good to proclaim your unfailing love in the morning. What does the Bible know about goodness? Well, it begins with a story about God creating the heavens and the earth, and each successive day He would create more things to populate the earth, and at the end of each day He would look on His creation and He would say, "This is good." God said, "This is good," when He created humans as well. And when each of us were being formed in our mother's womb, God breathed His life over us and He said, "This is good." God intends for us to be good. God intends for us to give glory to Him, to have the capacity to understand goodness, to see it, and to recognize it when we see it. Think about all the things we have to be thankful for. Just take a moment. This morning I got up a little bit early and the weather was nippy. It felt good. It felt real good. The sun started to rise and the sky was colored different colors. And it was good. I went back into my house and started having breakfast and every bite was good. I started reading my Bible and verses popped out at me that I had read 100 times before, but now new life breathes into each word and I see new insights that I never saw before. And I stopped and said to myself, "The living word is good." I thought about my grandchildren and how much they give me joy whenever I see them. And they live many states away. So most of the time I'm seeing them on, you know, a phone, their image on a phone or something. But boy, every conversation is good. It's good being grandparents. You can spoil them and give them back to the parents and let them be the heavy, you know. But it's so good. So many things in life to cherish. My father was a veteran. He served in World War II. And he served in France as a buck private. He told of a story of when he would serve for weeks on end in a foxhole. They would have several days that they would stay in the foxhole, and then someone would come to relieve them, and they would go back and fall back to the back position or something, and they would see mortar shells falling in front of them, and they just knew this next volley is going to hit me, but somehow it missed them. And when that experience was over, he said, you know, after all of those days of laying in a foxhole with nothing to protect me but dirt and rations that I would eat cold and water that would sometimes be a little bit muddy, he said, I began to understand what I needed. And from that point on, everything else has been gravy. My father never took anything for granted because the stark necessities of life were there to sustain him, and he didn't really have much of anything else. I have to admit, I'm spoiled compared to that. And I'll have to admit that I sometimes take for granted. But part of the thing about growing is to stop and consider that it's good to praise the Lord. To stop and just count your blessings, to consider what you have to be thankful for, to think about all the things that God has done and will do and is doing right this moment. To think about his great plan for creation and redemption, that he gives us free will and that he gives us grace and mercy. And when I consider all that God has done, it is good to give thanks to the Lord. The psalm actually says, we give because of what God has done, and it is good to give thanks to the Lord. And then it says, you thrill me, Lord. You thrill me. Now, I don't know about you, but I get thrilled when I go to Six Flags over Georgia. I get thrilled when I watch fireworks. I get thrilled when there's a great band on the stage and they're really billowing out with all the sound. Does God thrill you? The psalmist says, you thrill me, Lord. And my question to you is, when was the last time you were thrilled by God? I have to say that it's quite often that God thrills me. God thrills me because I have the great privilege of being a pastor at Shalimar United Methodist Church. And almost every day, someone comes into my line of sight. Someone comes into my life with great ministry ideas or with great gestures of generosity and compassion for other people. Or someone shares the life story with me that makes me realize that God has been working in their life. And it never gets old. It's always a thrill. What an honor it is to be a minister in this church. I know we can't all be clergymen, but we can all be ministers. Every one of us can be ministers. And as we work together in this church, my prayer for you is that you are thrilled by God. And find those thrills the way I have. What a great privilege it is. The scriptures tell us that the evil is scattered, but God's goodness is gathered. There's a bad apple in every bunch, I'm sure. But God's justice is at work in this world. Every time we see injustice, every time we see the need for correcting things so that shalom can reign, we see God at work in that. Sometimes he calls us to do that work. Sometimes he asks for us to be agents of his grace, to be agents of his justice. But as it is said, the arc of history bends toward justice. And that is God's will for the world. We get to be a part of it. So, as evil is scattered around, and sometimes it seems like evil is getting the upper hand. Sometimes we just know that this world is going to the dogs. We just know that somehow Satan is in charge of everything. Well, Satan does have a powerful hand in this creation, but the worst thing is not the last thing, and God's still at work in this world. And even death has been conquered through Jesus. So I believe and have it, take it on faith, that while there is evil in this world, in the final analysis, evil is scattered and God's goodness is gathered. We're coming up to Thanksgiving, not too far from now. And we will probably sing something like, "We gather together to ask the Lord's blessings." Every Sunday we gather together to be the people of God and to worship and praise Him. The good things of this earth are gathered together for God's good purposes. Especially when we give to the church and we're working in that direction. So God's vision is for us to flourish. God's vision is for us to thrive. Not just to survive, but to actually flourish. To be full of blossoms and to grow. And even when we think we're past our old age and we can't grow anymore, we can still pray to God that He can prune us as only He can, that we may bear fruit for Him again. In a week, we will have a decision to make. We've been talking about it for 3 weeks now. But next week is the time when we'll sit down and we'll remember what we said with our spouses and how we discussed this. Look at our finances and see the possibilities that we have and where we are in our station in life. And we will be ready to give in our estimate of giving cards. And let it be a time of glory to God. I'd like for us to close with a prayer. A prayer that God's work will be done in this church. Will you pray with me? O God, You are so great. Your power extends beyond the farthest star. Your Spirit is as close as our next breath. And all around us is abundance and generosity and showers of blessings. And all around us are people who need Your mercy. We look around and we see people who are hurting. We see injustices. We see corruption. We see falsehood take hold. And we know this is not Your will. But we also know that You have called us to be Your agents in this world. What a privilege and what a thrill it is that You've called us to work for You. We have little victories here and there, and sometimes big victories, and all of it goes to build Your kingdom. There's nothing more thrilling in this world than to work for You and let the power of Your Holy Spirit propel us to the next task. So Lord, be with us in the week ahead. Open our eyes to see Your glory everywhere we go. Open our eyes to see the need for Your church to be an instrument of grace and peace. Never let us think that this is beyond our ability, because with You, nothing is impossible. Help us to think boldly. Help us to go out on the limb. And we know that whether we are young or old, we have life within our limbs, and it is Your desire that we bear fruit for You. So let it be so, Lord. Let it be so. Amen.